Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. Lately, we've been humoring the idea of doing more frequent episodes, focusing on more current pop culture topics like movie and TV shows, news, and reviews. This is the first one of what we'll probably end up calling the Weekly Rewind or something like that. Unfortunately, due to either the program we were using or us just not knowing what the hell we were doing, the audio in this episode isn't the greatest. I've tweaked and edited the recording the best I could to clean it up, so hopefully you'll still be able to enjoy the episode. We've already found alternative means to record for next time, so just bear with us as we test out this new format. Now, with all that being said, let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis,
and I'm Xavier.
Sorry, I'm.
You sound weird, man.
I do. Do I sound weird? I don't know.
No, you're fine. For those joining us, we're actually doing a little experiment test run here. We're gonna do this is a quick episode. We just got done watching. We binged over a course of a weekend the new series on Netflix, Jessica Jones. And
AKA Jessica Jones.
Right, yeah. So we thought, you know, what the heck? Let's do a rewind, if you will, of the whole series of Jessica Jones. See how I threw that in there, yeah. And if this turns out pretty good, if this format turns out pretty good, we'll try this again and do some other
more save me some gas mileage.
Yeah. Or both of us, man. Come on now.
Sure, both of us.
All right.
That would be cool if this format works, and who knows, maybe we'll go to a more frequent episodes.
Yeah, I think so. And if this particular program or whatever that we're doing doesn't work out, maybe we can try some other things to get different audio, you know, factors in there to maybe improve or whatever on the audio. But like I said, this is a little test run here for us, and if listeners out there want to tell us how we're doing or how this sounds. If you want to hear more of this type of topic that we're going to do, feel free to let us know through the our Facebook page at facebook.com/popculturerewind or also on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And also you can send us an email at popculturerewind@gmail.com.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Now that's out the way.
Xavier's giving me visual cues that he's looking at the business card, but yet it's not a video. It's not a video podcast. They can't see you do that.
Oh no, I know that. Anyways,
all right,
Jessica Jones.
So where do you want to start on this, man?
Did you like it?
I loved it, man.
Okay, I didn't even know because I said, you know, did you finish it? And you just said, I'm going to wait to tell you about it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you liked it or hated it, really. That's why I asked, because I didn't know how to go from here. So you loved it, you say.
Yeah.
Did you say you loved it more than Daredevil?
You know what? That's what everybody's been asking me.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, what do you like better?
I mean, that's the bar.
True. And it's a fair question, I guess, for what Marvel's trying to do with his Netflix series or run or whatever you want to call it. It's for me, it was kind of hard to compare it to Daredevil because as high as the bar that Daredevil set, I think Jessica Jones is kind of on a different wavelength than what Daredevil was. Like Daredevil's more dark and gritty, where Jessica Jones, it was
dark.
this was
all lighthearted fluff.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
All the drinking and fucking raping and.
I was going to say, well, let me finish.
I'm surprised ABC Family didn't buy this episode.
Right? This I know. You see, the ABC
Family.
It was supposed to go
to ABC years ago. I'm kind of glad it didn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but my point was that this is more, as gritty as Daredevil was, Jessica Jones is more adult-oriented, mature. Does that make sense? It's for more mature themes in the whole series. Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying Jessica Jones is darker?
At moments, at times, yeah.
Yeah, for some I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
And
where it's more it's a more centralized focus story. Where I was kind of surprised at that, actually, that it was just.
Well, I don't know. I think it was a little scattered here and there. Well, this is the thing that you have to with these Netflix shows. I noticed it a little bit in Daredevil, a little bit more here. You really got to look at it as a whole, like it's a 13-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to just like episode one was good, and then it fluctuates. You know, you got to look at, you stand back, and at the end of it, then you judge. You know, the first few episodes, I got to admit, I wasn't super into it. And if you had asked me around episode three, I probably would have said Daredevil's better.
Yeah, I think the first couple episodes is kind of wait and see how it's going to be. But once some of the stuff started unfolding with Kilgrave and things like that, you start to see more characters being fleshed out. I was starting to dig it a lot. I'd say my one, I don't want to say complaint or one, is really a nitpick because it's nothing really bad about it, but I think that 13 episodes might have been too long for this story that they're doing.
Yeah, I could see that. Trim a little bit of fat.
Yeah, I was loving David Tennant as Kilgrave.
I was hating David Tennant as Kilgrave, which is to say, because I love David Tennant so much, but I hated I hated Kilgrave, but I love, you know, I was so ambivalent, I was so torn, because I love the actor, and he did a good job because he made me hate him, but he wasn't. What an a-hole this guy was. What an asshole. He's probably the worst villain. You know what? They're like, screw Thanos. Get rid of him. We need a better villain because Tennant just set the bar on Marvel villains. He is probably the worst Marvel villain ever. So screw Thanos, man. He can't even compare to Kilgrave.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. That as far as Marvel villains goes, I mean, for what he did, that's...
Do you remember any moments specifically where you're like, "Fuck this guy, man! I hate like what?" That one moment in particular that stood out for me that I was like, "God damn, this guy," was around the middle, and he had the house with the two servants, the chef and the maid, what have you. Mm-hmm. He's like, "We're going out. If we're not back in 2 hours, cut each other's faces off." And they kind of have these like, you know, scared looks, but they can't do anything. And then cut to later on in the evening, and they're like really nervous. And then you hear like footsteps and the door unlocking, and they both like,
yeah,
heave this big sigh of relief. And he opens up the door and goes, "I want cake." Totally unaware what he's put these people through for the last 2 hours, fearing for their lives, and he just walks in. "I want cake." I was like, "God, this guy, man, so evil, so cruel. Doesn't care. What a sociopath. Doesn't care about anybody." Except Jessica Jones, in a sick, twisted way. Fixated,
right.
I guess, is probably a better. I wouldn't say cares about her.
Fixated. But, that was a good word to use. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Kilgrave was, what a villain, man. It's worth checking it out just to see this sick man portrayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they made him too powerful? Like
powerful. Well, that's the thing, though. He wasn't like. I mean, his power is just do something. You had to do it. And, and that's all he was after. He wasn't like I just compared him to Thanos, who wants to literally like rule the universe.
Mm-hmm.
This guy doesn't want to rule anything. Maybe one person at a time, maybe a couple of people. But that's it. It's very small scale when you look at it like big picture wise.
Mm-hmm.
But from each victim's point of view, he's destroying every single one of them. And there are people in like support PTSD support groups and stuff.
Yeah.
Dealing with this, with just the fact that he came into their lives, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, global big picture, he's no Thanos.
He can care less, yeah.
Yeah, but from his victim's point of view, he's probably the worst thing you can ever think of.
And it's one of the things where, you know, the best villains are always, they're right in their point of view, or they're right in their mentalities. And in his mind, he was doing all these nice things for Jessica, you know?
Like
getting the house and all this other stuff, and
that was messed up, man. When he recreated her whole house, that psycho Barbie dream house or whatever she called it, that was messed up.
Yeah,
but it was also kind of sweet.
Yeah, that's what makes this
from
makes
his from his point of view. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So Before we go on any further, I should probably give a full alert here that we might be, we are throwing out spoilers. So,
oh yeah.
In case you haven't seen Jessica Jones, before we move forward, you might want to pause it for a second and go binge it, and then come back and watch.
come back in 13 hours.
Right. All right. So, what do you think of Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones?
I liked her. I've always liked Kristen Ritter. I've been a fan of hers for a long time, ever since Gilmore Girls. She had a small little arc on there, and I gotta admit, I probably would have lied to Rory about, you know. Anyway, she was cute. Did you ever watch that Bee in Apartment 23 show?
No, I knew she was in it, but I might be with the majority of people here, but I knew her from Breaking Bad.
From Breaking Bad, yeah, everybody knows her from Breaking Bad. She's hot in Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
I thought, like, her style. I thought she was pretty hot in Breaking Bad. But that's every time you read an article about Jessica Jones, it's like Kristen Ritter from Breaking Bad. That's like her one claim to fame up until now.
Yeah, yeah.
Up until now, she's
she's got her own
Downey Jr. and
right
seven.
Star
would you say, because, like, yeah, everybody's talking about Marvel or superhero movies in general, that, you know, women are being underwritten. You know, a Black Widow movie keeps getting postponed, and DC's trying to swoop in and be like, we're going to make a Wonder Woman movie and everything like that. But would you say Marvel technically did beat them to the punch?
Yeah, well,
if not theatrically, but, you know.
Right. No, well, this is a spotlight on a female hero.
Yeah. And there's no, like, I've read a lot of complaints. People are like, it has a feminist agenda and all that. But I didn't see any of that at all.
Yeah. Even if it was, I wasn't even trying to pay attention to that. I was.
Yeah. I just saw it as a real, fully fleshed, like a character that I bought who just happened to be female.
They were probably thinking, you know, that whole feminist stuff probably came about because of, you know, she didn't need anybody's help and she didn't ask for other, you know, she did everything on her own pretty much. So I would assume that's where.
It's a victim of rape fighting back.
Exactly.
She's like J-Lo in Enough. And I hope she'll forgive me for that comparison. But I like Kristen. I gotta admit, the character of Jessica Jones for a while in the show wasn't super interesting. I mean, she was a cool character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was capable, and she doesn't suffer fools and stuff like that. She was a good character, but just seeing her drink and, you know, be rude to everybody and all that, it didn't make for very entertaining viewing until the story picked up a little bit. But I gotta admit, in the very first episode, I was like, I didn't think Jessica Jones as a character was super interesting to watch.
Yeah, I can see that.
Even if she has a cool character.
I can see that, just because they did, they waited a while, they spaced out sporadically scenes of her, like, using her powers or how she got her powers. And
Actually, they never really showed us how she got her powers. The whole superhero origin, they kind of skipped that. And I'm wondering if they did that because it's almost identical to Daredevil. Like literally, she gets hit with toxic waste and wakes up in the hospital and has powers.
Yeah, I think they're tweaking that now in this series, from what I can gather from the IGH Corporation or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But
they implied that car accident where they run into the truck and her family died. I mean, they didn't show it and they didn't show her waking up with powers, but it seemed like, toxic waste, she gets her powers like that.
Yeah.
And I guess anybody who is just a casual viewer of Netflix who watches Daredevil and then watches the next show, and they're like, what the hell? Is everybody just going to get toxic waste on them? Get power?
Let me ask you this. Did you know of Jessica Jones before the series, or did you read the comics? The Elias comics is where she...
The Bendis comic. No, I did know who she was peripherally, mostly from reading Avengers books.
Mm-hmm.
She would just sort of pop up, usually attached with Luke Cage.
Right, right, yeah.
But she never did anything. She was always just there in the group talking. I never really saw any comics where she was a superhero.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
I knew of the Alias book. I never read it, so.
Which I've heard is a good book. I heard it was like one of the first, if not the first, adult-themed books Marvel ever put out.
Yeah, when they started their Mac line.
With adult situations.
Whatever
you call it.
Yeah, that's the Max line of comics, and that's, I think that was maybe, that might have been the first one, if I'm not mistaken, of that series. But
Okay, listen, one more big character you talk about is, we already mentioned, Luke Cage.
Yes. Yeah.
Now he's a character I've known about for years, since I was a kid, when he was going by the unfortunate nom de guerre of a Power Man. That's how I knew him from.
Yeah. Oh, he's not called Power Man anymore?
No, thank goodness.
I just knew him as a hero for hire. That's all.
Yeah, when he had that yellow shirt that was completely open up, like down to his, like that J-Lo dress that she wore that was completely open down to her navel. Wow, that's two J-Lo metaphors in one podcast. And he wore that, like, that silver tiara and like a chain for a belt and these big yellow boots. It was very 70s.
I was about to say, he was creating the 70s, so there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a silly outfit he wore back in the day, and that's why I probably never gave him much. I never paid him much mind.
Yeah, he's just kind of there. Like I knew, I always associated him with Heroes for Hire, with him and Iron Fist as a thing. Like him and Iron Fist were always a team.
And then
later on when they did the new Avengers thing, that's when he came back as just Luke Cage.
Yeah, and he's bald, and you know, he looks like. I mean, he looks a lot like the actor they got. Looks a lot like what I know to be Luke Cage. Now this dude, man, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. He's a good-looking guy. I can see why they cast him. This dude, fuck, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian god. This dude.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that because I didn't want to shut the fuck up at you, but I can't not say it. What'd you think of the dude who played Luke Cage?
I like him. I think he did a good job in the role, and which is great because apparently that's the next series, right? Is Luke Cage?
Yeah, he's next in line to get to get his own show. Mike Coulter is that dude's name.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with him. But.
Yeah, I never heard of him at all, which was good because I just saw Luke Cage on screen. I didn't see the Doctor. Like, you know, knowing David Tennant's previous work really screwed me up. But I didn't know this dude from Adam. So,
which is good. I like it when they cast either, I hate to say, no names, or you know, or just people that aren't, you know, headline, you know, celebrities. I like it when they cast people you don't know. That way, you don't see the actor, you see the character they're playing.
Yeah. Fun fact for our listeners: the character of Luke Cage is actually where Nicolas Cage got his stage name after the character. in the big comic book guy, so I'm sure he's really psyched that Jessica Jones and Nick Cage is on TV. I'm sure he's really psyched about that.
You know, yeah, it's funny. It's funny you should say that because when I was watching it with my wife, I just kind of nudged her on the shoulder. See, I said, that's where Nick Cage got his name from.
Yeah. I guess there's one more character we should mention. Carrie Ann Moss. Trinity.
Yeah, Trinity, yeah.
Trinity. She's just Trinity.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but.
Trinity's a cool character. Yeah. But, I didn't know this until after the show, but she plays a character who is from the comics.
Yes.
It's a man in the comics.
Right,
They wrote her as a woman, as a lesbian. I wasn't blown away with anything she did. Granted, the character is supposed to be very, like, you know, unflappable and doesn't do much. But again, it kind of made for until I learned that she was a comic book character, I kept wondering, why are we focusing so much on her and her divorce and her love life and her everything?
There was a scene where it was like maybe like a 3 or 4 minute scene of just them in the divorce. They're going over the divorce proceedings or whatever. Like you get this, I get that, and it was going on as like, is there a payoff to this? Because like, I don't, why are we going so much into their divorce proceedings? Like, I didn't understand that, but.
Yeah, but when I learned that, she's a comic book character who's the lawyer, like the right-hand man of Danny Rand, Iron Fist, who's also going to get one of these shows. I said, they're setting up Iron Fist world and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, why are we focusing so much on her, on this peripheral character?
Yeah.
I didn't know the books.
I didn't know her either, but yeah, like you, I just kind of, you know, found that out after the fact. So
this started making me think about big complaint people have about this big interconnected universe Marvel has created, which I love, but people are saying, some people are saying it's like the death of good storytelling in that, for instance, like a big complaint people have is in Avengers Age of Ultron, when the movie just kind of stops so they can all go to Wakanda and meet Claw and get his hand cut off and talk about vibranium and basically set up a new, basically set up Black Panther. Or when Thor just leaves, flies away to go take his magic bath, we can have Visions, which just sets up Thor Ragnarok, you know? Like the Age of Ultron, there's a few times where the movie just stopped to set up other stuff. And I think maybe, I mean, I can sort of see how people, how that annoys people. Like if you know what it's referencing, then you're psyched. Like, oh my God, they're going to Wakanda. Oh my God, that's Claw. He just lost his arm. That's cool. But if you don't, and usually I'm in the first camp, I'm psyched to see it. But a lot of people who don't read the comics don't know, and I was in their shoes for this show. I didn't know Jerry Hogarth or Jaron Hogarth, the comic book character. So the whole time we're learning about this character, I was bored, and I'm like you said, where's the payoff? Is this going to eventually pay off sometime soon? Why am I focusing all my time on this boring lawyer?
Yeah, and I'll, you know, I also thought that about the cop that turned into
yeah, the Simpson.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Once we saw like his
dude, same thing.
Yeah, I was like, why are we focusing so much on this dude?
Who is also it's heavily theorized he is a comic book character named Nuke.
Nuke.
Who's very, and I gotta admit, all the people kept noticing, you know, little tidbits here and there to support the theory. Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll say he's that character.
If the experts are saying it, then I'll go along with it because I'm not too familiar with that guy. So,
but I hated his character. Even if I knew the comic, it was just boring. Because I don't know, the whole my boyfriend is a super soldier who's all roided up to protect me. I thought they did it better with Riley on Buffy. And I hated Riley on Buffy. He was so boring. And I still kept getting Buffy flashbacks during the, you know, when Riley got all superhuman.
Oh yeah.
All aggressive and everything. Yeah, I was like, didn't I see this on Buffy?
But better.
Yeah, and then he literally does the cliche thing where he like pours gasoline, takes out the Zippo, and then just drops the Zippo and walks away. I was like, oh God. Like, as soon as he pulls out, because when he's pouring gasoline, I'm like, you're going to pull out a lighter, a Zippo lighter, aren't you? He pulls it out. I'm like, you're going to drop it and walk away, aren't you? And he does it. And, oh, God, that was a little cliche.
But, yeah, his character, I didn't care too much for. And then Hogarth, again, going back to her, I don't know. I get why they were in the series, but I don't know. To me, a little bit too, maybe too much. Too many characters added into this small little story, but I don't know. I guess you got to have the little side stuff going on too. But
well, I mean, it's not that it was too many. It's just like everything. Like we kept seeing Hogarth's story, but it had nothing to do with the main story
until the very end.
There was a little bit of payoff with the wife at the end, which I thought that was the payoff. I still didn't realize she was a comic book character. But that 1,000 cuts thing.
Yeah.
It was like, you want to kill her by 1,000 cuts? Go ahead, knock yourself out, or whatever he tells her. Like, God, what an asshole. Or maybe he's given her what to her heart's desire from his point of view.
There you go.
See? Yeah, you're right. I did her a favor. She wanted to kill her. I'm sure he would argue that. But I got to admit, even it's almost like this was two shows. Like the first four episodes is you know, Luke loves Jessica or whatever. And it was just focusing on them with no Purple Man yet. And then Luke's like, I got to leave the store for a while so you can focus on other characters. And then we get to Kilgrave and all that kind of stuff. And then we learn about Kilgrave. And then when he's sort of back, when he's into the wind again, then Luke Cage is like, oh, good, you have some room for me to come back in and be sexy.
You know, there was the, it was towards the end when they were in the that club that Kilgrave was testing his ranges out on. And it turns out that he actually had Luke Cage in the trance the whole time, even though that.
Yeah, when did that? I got to go back and rewatch it because I need to pinpoint exactly when we got, you know, mind control Luke Cage.
Yeah, because he's gone for a while. Like he's gone for like the middle of the whole series.
Yeah, Which I guess, like, I thought he wouldn't come back at all. Like, I literally thought he was in there for a few episodes so we can learn who he is to set up his show.
Right.
I didn't think we'd see him again. But he does go Sweet Christmas right after he crawls off of her when they're, you know, banging.
Right.
Which is a big catchphrase of his. That's like it's Cobran time or something like that.
Did you kind of laugh or smirk when he first said it for the first time?
Yeah. I actually knew that much about him.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny that he did it right after sex, like not after the fight.
Yeah.
But there's one more character, I guess. She's not a comic. Well, you know, she is a comic book character and hero.
Mm-hmm.
Was Rachel Taylor as her foster sister. Patricia, whatever, Trish Walker, Patty
right.
Walker, whatever you want to call her, who I didn't realize was from the comics.
You know, because she kept calling her. Yeah, they kept calling her Trish and Trish Walker. I didn't really catch that, but when they said Patty Walker, I was like, oh wait, I know that name, and I couldn't pinpoint it, but I had to Google it.
Sorry, I'm drinking a soda. You keep looking at me. Can you hear it? I can't hear it. This is one of the hurdles we'll have to get through. You can edit this out. So, Trish Walker. Yeah, Trish Walker. What are we going to do about it, huh? How about that? I found her pretty boring as a character.
Yeah?
She was kind of boring. I don't know if she was just very underwritten or if it was... I think that's the issue. I don't think it's the actress's fault.
The insecurities of her character, it was a bit much at sometimes.
Well, in the beginning, we find out she's Krav Maga training.
Right, right.
Which at the end of it, when I researched, I thought, oh, maybe that's to set up the fact that she's a superhero who's a fighter. But why was she doing this? She kept saying, like, so I'm not going to be a victim anymore. Kind of like...
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, she just wanted to be...
Kind of like J-Lo in the movie Enough.
Are you really doing this?
What are you talking about? I don't get the reference. I'm like Michael Keaton, who keeps referencing TLC and doesn't know why. He just keeps doing it.
Okay.
She's like, I'm never going to be a victim, and I'm going to learn to fight. But I was like, did something happen to her in her past that she decides to do this that I missed?
Yeah.
I'm actually asking, like, did I miss that?
No, as far as I know. The closest thing you could say was her mom was abusive towards her. That was kind of hinted at. It wasn't really...
Her mom. Really quick, like, I gotta admit, when I saw the mom, I was like, her mom is... She's kind of hot.
Looks kind of familiar?
She didn't look familiar to me. She's kind of hot. Maybe in her
young
age, she was probably hot.
I did not know that was Rebecca De Mornay.
Neither did I. Until the end. And I was looking at the cast, like, holy shit, that's Rebecca. I haven't seen her in years, so that's why.
Yeah, me too.
And then I felt better about thinking that she was pretty hot.
There you go.
But yeah, man, freaking Rebecca De Mornay was the mom. I did not even recognize her. Is there any other characters besides the support group, whatever you call it, with Malcolm and that creepy twincest sister?
Oh, good lord, that was
who I hated.
Yeah.
I hated that twincest sister.
Yeah, you know what the twins and Malcolm reminded me of? It reminded me of the first Punisher movie with Thomas Jane, because he had all this, he had the weird, you know, the weird,
the supporting cast of the
Downouts. Yeah, that's what I kept thinking of that every time I watch it.
Well, that's a good, apparently, I think Malcolm's in the books too.
I would imagine so. He looks like he'd be someone out of the comics. Yeah.
I liked his character after. I thought it was a cool twist because we see him just in the background. Even we don't pay him any mind. We think he's just a drug head who hangs out in the building. Even we didn't even think to consider him as a suspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we find out a few episodes later he's been under the mind control this whole time, taking pictures, stalking. I thought that was a neat little like mid-season twist or
that's what got me like up to the halfway through the series. I was like really intrigued by who's he got, you know, where's all the twist at, and who does he have under his control? And it was really like a mystery at that moment, you know, like through parts of this whole series. It was just mystery suspense type stuff going on along with the drama aspect of it too. So
yeah, had like a little film noir,
yeah, yeah,
you know, detective thing going on. If only it had like narration.
Right.
Cool. Okay, we missed anybody else? I gotta admit, way in the beginning, like in the first episode, and then way towards the end, that he's only in like 3 or 4 episodes, was the cop, the black cop, the older black cop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think like maybe, see, episode 1 or 2, she's being interrogated by him.
Is that who it is? I don't remember who it was in the first.
Yeah. The one they brought into that room to like witness, the cop she brings in to be like, witness me. That he's the cop from the very, very beginning. Cause I remember I recognized him and I'm like, holy shit, it's fucking Detective Lester Fremont. All right, pack it, everybody, go home. Fucking Fremont's got this. He's going to bring it in. Cause he's police. He's good police. that dude, he played a cop on The Wire. So I was like, psyched to see. When are you going to fucking watch that show?
I know. I'm behind the times on that one.
You got to check it out. Anyways, what have I steered you wrong? So I'm thinking like, oh, cool. Fucking Fremont, Lester Fremont's in this show. His name's Clark Peters, by the way. The actor. I always call him that. And I'm like, cool, he's going to be in the show. And then he doesn't show up for like 9 episodes or something. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, why aren't you focusing on that cop instead of this blonde douche who keeps wanting to like, make up for it? Is there anything else I can do to make up for the, like bang you? I wanted more of him. Let me ask you something else. Here's something that bugged me a little bit, was the inconsistency, I guess, for lack of a better word, of her powers. Like,
yeah, it was never really defined what her powers are.
Like Luke Cage literally takes a saw and be like, let me show you exactly how invulnerable I am, and then tries to like saw his stomach open. We get an idea. He sets a bar. Okay, now we know how tough Luke Cage is. But like for the first 5 episodes, Jessica Jones like has like a lock breaking fetish. She literally breaks like 5 locks. And that is the only bar we get for her powers. And that's pretty strong to just go, whomp, break a lock off.
I just, you know what? You told me that when we were watching the series. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that until you said that. I was like, holy shit, she does break a lot of locks.
But that's all she did. Like, if she was doing other stuff, that'd be cool. But, like, one minute she's breaking locks and bending metal bars. And then the next, like, she can't even outfight a regular dude. Like, it seemed like her powers were kind of fluctuating, and like, could she, okay, in the books she can sort of fly,
right?
Or she has the potential, but she never really learned exactly.
Yeah, as far as I know, in the books it's not really that defined as what she, as far as her flying abilities, but she's apparently got just super strength. That's pretty much the juxta of her powers. Yeah. Is super strength pretty much.
And but she even says like I don't so much fly as fall. Like, it's not flying, it's falling with style.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where all the dudes are like, got guns on her, like, don't move. And she's got unconscious Kilgrave. She's like, I can't let you stop me. And then, whoa, she just flies. And I was like, what the fuck? When did she learn how to fly? Like the show never said that.
I just think that she jumped really high. That's all.
That's what I thought too. But then she never came back down. So I'm like, can she fly? Can she, like, how tough is she exactly? Is she stronger than Luke Cage? Because I know Luke Cage is invulnerable. But
right.
Is she like, who would win in an arm wrestling match?
Is he like, okay? Is Luke Cage? I know he's got indestructible skin, but does he have super strength too?
Yes, he does. I learned that years ago in 1990. I had these like every kid, every normal kid. I collected trading cards.
The Marvel Universe cards. Yeah, I still have to complete Series 3.
Well, I didn't collect baseball cards because I didn't like baseball, and the gum was gross.
Yeah, it was.
The gum was, it was like those plastic, it was like those hearts, the words on them.
Mm-hmm.
These hearts are chalky and unpleasant. So I collected Marvel cards and Spider-Man cards and all that, and I had a card of Power Man, and it said in 1990 that he could lift up to 3 tons. Was his strength level.
And 25 years later, you can reveal that.
I can finally use that fact. I can finally use that fact. 25 years later, what are you talking about?
That's it, 25 years later.
Oh, I thought I heard you say 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he does have a certain degree of super strength. I think now, you know, because everybody, every comic hero, if they're around for a couple decades, their powers get like augmented. I think he's a lot stronger now because I've seen him in comics, like he's fighting Namor and shit like that.
I do like how they portrayed him during the fight scenes. He was just kind of, he looked bored. Like they're just bothering him, like when they're trying to attack him.
Yeah, he was just walking around, headbutting dudes. But yeah, okay, yeah. As of today, he can lift 25 tons.
Oh wow!
According to his wiki page,
he's been working out.
He's been hitting the gym, yeah.
Right.
But in 1990, yeah, his power has increased by like sixfold since the early 90s. It was that tiara that was holding him down, man.
Right? A silver belt.
Yeah, and I still have those cards.
It's the tights, man.
Here's a quick summary. Here's what the 1990 Power Man card says. Framed for a crime he didn't commit, Luke Cage volunteered to be a guinea pig for a scientific experiment in order to win his release from prison. The experiment gave him phenomenal strength. He can lift 10 tons and impervious steel-hard skin. Now, as Power Man... He uses his fantastic powers to help those in need while he searches for evidence to clear his good name. So that's, for years, that's who he was.
Right.
Now his name's clear. Now he's an Avenger. All that stuff.
There was a little...
He's a dad.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
A subplot there where it was revealed that Jessica killed his wife.
In the show, yeah.
Yeah. So, Reva. Is it Reva?
Reva.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, and apparently his wife had was investigating evidence or trying to find out how he got his powers. It wasn't really revealed, but like they didn't really.
Is that what she was doing?
I don't know the little USB drive that they that it was buried, that she buried in the ground.
The little yellow USB MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Again, that reminded me of that yellow floppy disk from Buffy that was like a MacGuffin. It kind of reminded me of
that. It can't be coincidence that was yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who uses a yellow USB drive? I don't know. Or maybe just to make it memorable to the audience so we remember it.
Yeah, there you go.
But again, I had more Buffy flashbacks. And somebody was asking me, like, what's her, like, how strong is she? Mm-hmm. And I literally was like, she's like Buffy. Because Buffy's powers, her strength was very inconsistent, and the show kind of was. Like, clearly she's super strong, but occasionally she'll fight a regular dude and just can't defeat him right away.
Yeah.
When she should be able to, just, like, one punch, you're dead. But why is she? I don't know.
Hey, real quick, about Reva and when Jessica killed her, that was brought up at the end when Kilgrave even said, hey, look, I just told you to take care of her. I didn't say to kill her, you know?
Yeah, take care of her.
That's a good point. Like, how does she, like, she just...
Well, if you're Vincent Vega, take care of her? You know, that's how you go, you know? Take care of her. That's what I would have assumed.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, do you think she wanted to kill her? Like on some deep level? She didn't even know her.
Yeah, I don't know. See, that's some vagueness there that I thought of. And that's when Kilgrave said, well, I didn't tell you to kill her. You did that. So, I don't know. This is kind of a...
I wouldn't put that on her.
Yeah, she's under the influence.
But those powers were... Again, I want to come back to Kilgrave. He was... Because, like, I didn't know much about it. I knew who, quote-unquote, the Purple Man was from cartoons and comics and stuff. He is purple. Not in the show, because I guess that would look weird. They're going for some realism.
Although, I thought that's where they were going at the very end when he took all that last injection.
Yeah.
Because his veins and shit started turning purple. I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. He gets a little purple. Yeah, but, I mean, I get why they didn't. He has to be able to walk down the street.
Right.
He's not like a super villain. He walks around, he goes in hotels, he hides in plain sight. He needs to look normal.
Yeah. Well,
I get why they didn't make him purple.
There's an episode of X-Men where he got around that. He did the old Jack Nicholson Joker thing where he would face paint himself skin colored.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The old, from the 90s X-Men?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I must have seen that episode, but I don't remember it.
But
a few years ago, there was a cartoon called Avengers, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, good show.
And that's a good show. And he is a villain in that. But he is a comic book villain in that show. He literally mind controls the Avengers to put up satellites, I think, to augment his power, to like literally control the world.
Mm.
Like he is a mustache-twiddling Bond villain.
Yeah.
Whereas in this show, like I was saying earlier, he's not about that kind of stuff. He literally just, it's all about him and what people can do to serve him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's it. He's not out to conquer the world or even the city or Hell's Kitchen or wherever the show takes place.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about this show, along with Daredevil, and even to an extent, Ant-Man. It was there's more smaller scale. They're not like Avengers where they're saving the world. You know, they're just it's just kind of almost self-contained. Well, all of them are pretty much self-contained stories. But going back to your point earlier about people saying that it's, you know, the shared universe is kind of like the death of storytelling. Where it doesn't necessarily have to be the case. It's just you can have your small scale stories like this and still be okay.
Well, I mean, I think this show kind of was the very first time I ever got what regular people were complaining. Regular people, but
people.
the underling. No, people who aren't as familiar with the comics. Like when I saw Age of Ultron, I heard the word Wakanda, and it moved a little bit. I was like, oh my god, Claw. You know, and when he cut his arm off, I was like, holy shit, Ulysses Claw lost his arm. I'm like, I got all that, and I'm enjoying it. But if you don't know these characters, you're literally the way I am with Simpson or with Hogarth. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we spending time with these characters? Yeah. So I got to admit, I finally saw the argument that people have been making against. But, you know, if that's the price you have to pay for a shared universe, come on. I'll gladly pay that.
Yeah,
it's a small, you know, compared to the bigger picture of like, oh my god, this is all interconnected, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this show kind of finally hit home what people were complaining about. But
okay.
Again, I chalk it up to read the books. That's your fault.
It's on you.
I didn't read the books for this, so it's my fault. I blame myself, not the writers. It's my fault.
Wow, I got that on tape. All right, cool. All right.
well, it really is Marvel's fault for not making her more well known and pushing her in others. No, it's fine. It's my fault. But I mean, yeah, all I know about Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, mostly Luke Cage, is what I read from Avengers books. Like,
yeah.
Like they're both in Civil War. And like I said, in Avengers versus X-Men, it's a very big book. Luke Cage is in it too. And like, that's where he's fighting Namor and stuff like that. So I've never actually picked up a book of just theirs. They're always, you know, tertiary characters in bigger stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't have any. I mean, they're just in the Avengers. They don't have their own stories anymore. Their own series. So,
yeah, I would really love to read that Alias book.
Well, I mean, the trade's out there, so I'm sure you can find it somewhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure nobody right now is looking for it either.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm sure it's gonna be so easy to find. Yeah.
All right. So, do you have any final thoughts for, or is there anything else that you want to touch on this series?
It really intrigued me into Jessica Jones. I'd love, like, after the show ended, I didn't do this during because I really wanted to just absorb the show as a TV show, what they intended. I didn't want to go in it with any preconceived notions. But in doing a lot of research on Jessica Jones, I realized what an interesting character she's been in the Marvel Universe. She's kind of had her foot in everybody's story. She went to Midtown High
mm-hmm.
with Peter Parker,
yeah,
Spider-Man.
And it would have been cool if they mentioned that in the show. That would have been awesome. But
that she went to Midtown High?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Sony still owns, like...
Midtown High?
Spider-Man. Well, I mean, Midtown's a thing, but... Maybe, I don't know. Well, yeah, you're right. I guess you could just say that.
And let the viewer, you know, put the two together.
Connect the dots, yeah.
Yeah.
But she was actually there when Peter got bit by that spider.
Yeah. Yeah.
She witnessed it, and you know her dad worked for Tony Stark, and like you know she just sort of been interconnected a little bit in this world. But speaking of interconnected, were you hoping that Daredevil would have popped up?
It was in the back of my mind that something might happen. You know, maybe like when she's walking down the street, maybe you see Matt Murdock walking the other way or something, or some kind of weird wink. You know, you blink and you miss it type reference. But I didn't think that Daredevil himself, like in costume. Full on would be a part of the show. I didn't think that.
Yeah, I guess not. But I got when Claire, when Rosario Dawson shows up in one of the last episodes, the Night Nurse,
mm-hmm.
or is she? Is she Night Nurse? Which is also a comic book character. She's basically just a nurse, like a medic for superheroes, like a mob doctor.
I think that's Misty Knight. I think that's what I'm thinking. you're thinking.
Well, everybody's calling her Night Nurse, and now, but Rachel McAdams is going to be the new Doctor Strange, and they're saying she's the Night Nurse instead, which means okay. Rosario isn't. So there's some, but regardless if she's a comic book character or not, she was a link to Daredevil.
Yeah, and I guess she's going to be linking all the series because
you know what? It's the same. She's going to die in the last in Defenders. Cause she's the Agent Coulson of this, right? she's gonna be in everything. She's the normal chick who's in everything, and then she's gonna die. And they're like, if we can't protect the world, we can at least defend it. We're the defenders. So, but yeah, I wonder if she pops up in Power Man with Luke Cage. I can't even think of it. I was gonna say Iron Fist. To just do what she does, it's gonna be a little lame. Like, I don't know. She's gonna be the Coulson of it.
You think it'll be lame, like if she just happens to stumble upon him in the hospital again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll buy that she just happens to literally treat two superheroes twice. two times is a coincidence. Three times is a conspiracy. Something's going on. But I do like her character, and there's a point where she says, like, I know somebody who's like you. I can give a call. And then she's like, no. I'm like, damn it. I'm like, for a second. I mean, like, yeah, you're right. It probably would be better to not have Daredevil thrown in. But for a second, like, my hope's like, are they going to bring in Daredevil? And Jessica Jones is like, no. Like,
nah, they're not gonna blow the load right now, man. Come on, you got to wait for that shit.
Well, the thing is, like, in the books, Daredevil is one of those people who can actually resist a Purple Man.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's just because he's got such a strong will, or if it's something about his senses that he can't see, or whatever. But yeah, he's been known to be able to resist a Purple Man. So I thought that would have been a good way to do. But then he would have swooped in and beat him, and then taken all the, you know.
Exactly.
He would have been the hero of the show. So
right.
I guess that's not the way to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, but I read some trivia, but I heard he's one of the people who can just resist him. Dr. Doom. Just because he's got such a strong force of will, Dr. Doom can resist the Purple Man, which
is that true?
Dr. Doom even cooler. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I read a few sources that not because of any tricks, Dr. Doom is just so, he's just such a strong will that you can't tell him what to do, even if you're superpowered.
That's awesome.
Nobody can tell Dr. Doom what to do. But yeah, I think in the comic, it's about pheromones, and in the show, they made it like a virus. And again, I heard some people complaining. They were like, that's like making midichlorians.
What do you think about that? Like, making it a virus? Well, I mean, it's different, you know?
I didn't know what it was originally, so it's not like I was calling foul.
Yeah, me neither. I was like, okay, well, that's what it is. It just is, you don't really think of powers as being a virus, you know? So I thought that was a nice twist on the whole the power aspect of things.
So why don't you just wear like a NASA suit and go kick his ass?
You know, it's funny. I think it was in a bank. But you think it's Jessica. She's got the music playing and the headphones and the hoodie on, and she's walking towards them, and all you hear is the music playing. Like that's what she's. Got
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So she can't. No, she just can't hear him.
I thought that, you know what, and it turns out that was Trish, and that was like a bait for that. But I thought that would be like a cool like fight. Scene moment where all you hearing is like her music playing as she's like kicking out.
So she's fighting while wearing headphones.
Yeah, and then like, in that way she can't be.
Oh, like Jessica Biel in Trinity, in Blade Trinity.
Ah shit.
She likes to listen to playlists while she hunts. Yeah.
But that would make sense. You know,
that would make sense, and it was cool. And when she's walking in listening to music, I thought that was Jessica, and I thought, oh, that's cool. She's gonna. That's like, you know, it's like when Superman wears a lead suit.
Yeah.
To go fight, well, anybody who has kryptonite, everybody. But yeah, why don't they just wear or a gas mask or something? If it's a virus, you know, just wear something that he can't put his whammy on you.
Right.
And if she killed, you know, Luke Cage's wife with one punch. Oh, here we go. Spoiler alert again. We already said it. But what did you think of the ending of the conflict, so to speak? when she's, you know.
She snaps his neck. She kills the guy.
She snaps his neck, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was, I don't want to say anti, yeah, a little anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic. I was like, yeah. I was hoping she'd drag it out or have some final words or make it vague.
I hate to say this because it wasn't our idea, but I listened to Fat Man on Batman. I don't know if you listened to a new episode when they talk about Jessica Jones.
I listened to that. Yeah, but not...
Mark, what's the guy's name? Mark
Bernard.
Yeah, he had a really good alternate ending. She says, like, earlier in the series, whatever, I'm going to rip your throat out. That way you can't do anything, whatever. So that would have been a nice...
I rip your tongue out.
Yeah, I'll rip your tongue out, yeah. So if she did that, that way he could...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have to live knowing that he can't do anything.
Turn him into an AVOX. You laughed. You know what that word means.
Mockingjay
opens nationwide. No, it's theaters now. I haven't seen it yet.
So I don't know. That would have been, I think, more poetic, other than just snapping his neck.
I was like literally 50, because the whole time I'm thinking, are they going to kill him? Or are they going to save him so he can come back and, you know, be another villain again later on? But what do you do with a guy like that? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, if you bring him back, then it's just going to be the same story all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's mind control. You know, so I was like, you know, this is a one-time deal. You can only play this scenario out one time.
Right.
So I guess he has to die, and he deserves to die.
Yeah.
I think.
Clearly. You know, clearly, yeah.
Nobody's, I'm not fucking Morgan. I don't think, oh, life is precious. But, yeah, fucking kill that motherfucker. Kill him twice.
Kill it with fire.
Rip his nuts off. Rip his nuts off. Until he regenerates. Yeah. But I was a little, you know, that's it. You know, that was it. I was expecting something longer, and then the next snap is kind of anti... Yeah, like you said, it was a little anticlimactic. I was hoping for more, or at least... I don't even remember if she had like a last quip or something funny, some last words, but it seemed like, yeah, she just kind of grabs his throat and you know, and I was like, oh, like, I guess everybody's happy.
I heard some theories online that, you know, there's that little other thing about the girl Hope, that she was pregnant with his baby. And,
oh,
and they took,
God,
and they...
Hope Schlottman. That was messed up, man.
Yeah.
What happened to Hope? Like, the whole series is about getting her off. Which I would... I was gonna make a bad joke there. She's a cute girl. No, but the whole series was about getting her acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she murdered her parents.
Yeah.
Against her. If there's anybody who deserved a happy ending from all this. And then when she realizes that she's the one, like, hurdle, the one barricade that keeps Jessica from killing Kilgrave,
mm-hmm.
So what does she decide to do? She fucking what is it, glass?
Yeah, it's a bottle. Yeah.
A bottle, right?
Yeah, and she's a broken bottle, yeah.
Yeah, and then kills herself, jams it. That is how much she... See, we're talking about, you know, we were saying Kilgrave, he's not big picture, conquer the world, but to his villain, to his victims, he's the worst thing ever.
Right.
To the point that his victims will literally kill themselves.
Right.
If it means someone else will kill him. They will give up their own life for to be vindicated. That is how much he affects his victims. And I don't think any other Marvel villain can say that. Any other villain, period, can say that.
And even that with the safeguards that he had, if, you know, if something happens to him, then so many people will kill themselves. And he had it all lined up, like, perfect.
this was a whole new level of, and but then I wouldn't even say evil, because he's not like I get off on killing people for the sake of being evil. He just doesn't care.
Literally,
even
yeah.
Worse, which is kind of even worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you realize that you're evil, that's one thing. But to just not even, but to be evil and not even know, because you just don't care. Human life literally means nothing to him. She literally, like, for a while there, when she says, like, I could be a hero, but you have to be with me. And she's like, why? Because I can't do it on my own. I don't know what's right and wrong. She's like, oh, God, You're right. And for a second, I thought for at least an episode or two, they'd play with the idea of Kilgrave, the hero, with her kind of coaching him.
That was an interesting concept.
It
yeah.
was so interesting. Yeah. I wish they played.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish they played with it longer. And they, like, because the guy has his family hostage or whatever, because they won't clear or whatever problem he has with his family, and he goes to the two cops, and the two cops are like, you guys, this is restricted crime area, or whatever, and then Kilgrave goes, we can go about our business, move along, and I was like, nice. Nice fucking Star Wars pull there.
Right.
And then Jessica Jones goes, Obi-Wan Kenobi? Like, damn it! You ruined it by calling him out on it. Like, why didn't you just let the Star Wars fans have their cake and eat it? Now you're letting all the other non-Star Wars fans eat the cake.
Yeah. The Star Wars
I thought they ruined that joke by drawing attention to it. But I did laugh out loud when he says, you can go about your business. Move along.
And things like that, that whole sequence is really good because it showed him in a different light, like him using his powers for good for a second, and then him being self-aware of
until he told the guy to eat the shotgun.
Yeah.
He's using them for good.
Hey, he was, whatever. In his mind, he thought he was doing the right thing, so. But like he said, he had a self-aware that he knows that he doesn't know what's right and wrong, so. Said it. There you go.
Hey, and okay, let me ask you this though. We get a good chunk of hating him until we learn his backstory and how he grew up and how his parents treated him and you know, a clinical psychiatrist would almost argue it's not even his fault. He could easily argue like insanity or what have you.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel sorry for him?
McGrave? For a split second. because David Tennant is so fucking charming.
Yeah.
when you were explaining what his parents did to him in the laboratory, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe we got this guy wrong.
Yeah, I think even Jessica hesitated for a second. Like, she painted him as just a black and white villain, but yeah, there's more to it. And yeah, for a minute there, I was like, well, yeah, it's the parents' fault. And poor mother fucking made his mother here, stab yourself. For every year you left me.
Yeah.
Kind of messed up. So, and he even says, like, I didn't kill her. She killed herself. Like, I've never killed anybody. And technically he's right. But
technically, yeah.
You know.
But anyway.
Well, in court, he would be technically right, which is the best kind of right.
Technicalities, man.
Yeah. But, yeah, overall, what did, on a scale of 1 to 10, one being that, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What would you? I have to explain what 1 to 10 means.
I'd probably, you know what? I'm going to say a 9.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd give it an 8.
Yeah?
Which is good. Yeah.
Yeah. For you, that's really good.
Yeah. I'd knock 1 point off for the sort of unevenness. Well, again, this kind of comes back to what I just argued against is that you got to look at it as a whole. And. You know what? I gotta revisit. I gotta see it. I gotta see it a second time to really absorb it, knowing you know,
yeah,
where it's going.
I got you.
Yeah, because it always takes you twice to really absorb something. Once to see it, and then two, you know, the second time to notice the details and you know where it's going. But I guess for a lot of characters, I just didn't care about. I'll take a point. And for the sort of like Luke Cage is front and center, and then he's gone, and then Kilgrave is front and center, and then he's gone. And no, you know what? That's not even the show's fault. Like I said, you gotta look at it like as a movie. Like Private Ryan, first 30 minutes is all action, and then the next 30 minutes is talking. That's like saying 3 good episodes, 3 bad episodes. But you gotta look at it as a whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as a whole, it's okay. You know what? Yeah, you know, okay, 9. I'll give it a 9 too.
Yeah, the only reason I'm saying it's a 9 is just because, like I said before, I think maybe 10 episodes instead of 13 episodes. I think that would have been. How do you like to say this? Tighten it up a little bit. Just tighten it up.
Just get on the scale, and whatever it says, just weigh like 10 pounds less than that.
Or three episodes less. Yeah,
weigh three episodes less. You think three? Three episodes?
I think so. I think 10.
Might have a...
I think 10, because about episodes 11 and 12, I was already getting like, okay, we get it. Kilgrave is powerful as shit. Okay, what else? You know, it was getting... So like repetitive of his.
The thing is, I never got tired of seeing him of seeing him do his thing.
Really? Okay.
No, dude. No, I never got tired. As horrible as it was to see, that makes me sound all fucked up. I could see him be a sadistic psychopath all day long. But I mean, it was amazing to watch. Like, what if a guy could do this? It sounds like so simple. He you know, you have to do what he tells you.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's okay. But when you see how he uses that power to, you know, literally, you know, if I'm not back in 2 hours, peel your face off.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know, we take a walk off the roof, and then the guy walks off the roof to kill himself while he's watching. He's not even going to look.
Yeah.
He will not even turn around to watch the guy jump off the roof. He will literally turn back to the football game or whatever he was watching. He just go walk off the roof. He doesn't even look at him when he says it, I think. Like, he cares. Literally, as much as we would care about squashing a cockroach, that is what human life means to this dude.
Pretty much, yeah. That's a good analogy, yeah.
But he doesn't think he's above everybody. Not like in the sense that I'm above everybody. He just doesn't care.
I think he does. He never said, above people, but he's more.
I mean, he never had a speech where he's like, "I'm better," or "I'm, you know, this is a gift," or "I'm, you know." He almost made himself seem like this is a what would you do if you had these powers? Like, he's a victim in it.
Yeah,
that's how he sees himself. Like, I don't even know if people are actually, you know, being legitimate or if they're not. And, you know, what do you think that does to you? And he sees himself as a victim.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes back to what I was saying. Like, the best villains are right in their own mind. And,
yeah, they're heroes in their own mind.
Yeah. So, anyway.
We will bring order to the galaxy as father and son. Yeah. I think he's doing a good thing. I just mentioned the best villain ever, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God. Okay, I just like saying that line. All right, well, yeah, overall, good show, good sophomore effort from Netflix. Getting me excited about Luke Cage. Well, is Iron Fist still on or no? I've heard it's on, I've heard it's not.
I think they confirmed that it is still on. It's still a thing. I think they were downplaying it while Jessica Jones was coming out because they didn't want any news of Iron Fist to overshadow the release of Jessica Jones. They wanted all this focus and spotlight on Jessica Jones. So, but yeah, they did come back and they said that Iron Fist is on track. It is going to be the fourth show. So,
can you imagine when these characters are all like, well, the thing is, by the time that they become Defenders, by the time they make it to the MCU, the cinematic universe, do you think by then, like, all the, like Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey, do you think their contracts will have expired by then?
Possibly. You know, I was going to ask you that. Do you see these characters going into the cinematic universe? I know it's all connected, but, I mean, can you see Daredevil popping up on Avengers 3 or 4?
well, not Avengers 3, because that'll be Infinity War.
Right. But you know what I'm saying, though, right? It's like, do you see these
Well, I mean, these are literally... Defenders are literally like street level guys.
Yeah.
These are rooftop hopping superheroes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Avengers are much, you know, they're much bigger scale. The Defenders are about the little guy. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say Daredevil is the equivalent of a Black Widow.
Okay. And how about this? Could you see any of these characters showing up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, God.
Where would you want to?
Where does Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. take place? It's all over the world, right?
It's all over the place, yeah. Like, so maybe they won't because of that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really watch that show anymore.
God, they you know what? They're not even in New York anymore. They haven't been in New York in a while. I'm thinking about it.
Aren't they always flying on that plane?
Yeah, they're always everywhere now.
It's like a globetrotting show. I haven't seen any Avengers Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, but I hear it's gotten, since they focus on the inhuman aspect, I think somebody would say the show's gotten better.
It's picked up a little bit, yeah. So,
but maybe since they're like focusing on this whole inhumans, it might give them a flimsy pretext to find Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Daredevil, like for recruitment purposes.
That's another thing on that show. When she had that conversation with that one person, that one chick that was hunting her down, that tricked her into going that apartment and.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
And she said, how many of there are you? And she said, 99. There's 99 of us. Was she just saying that, or was that like...
I think she was just saying that.
Yeah, just to fuck with her. Yeah.
Just a good number. I mean, the same way she said, if you shoot me, I'm going to pull that bullet out of my ruined jacket and shove it up your ass. Who do you think is going to hurt? Well, that's a line from the book. if you shoot me, I'll pull the bullet and shove it up your ass, which is cool. I think she was just, again, bluffing when she said 99.
Yeah.
The same way she was bluffing when she, or I'll kill you with my eye lasers or whatever. Yeah, I think 99 was just a number.
Okay. Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe, I mean, she is a PI who investigates superhero related shit. If there's anybody who's got like a bead on how many metahumans there are running around New York, it would be Jessica Jones.
Yeah, especially if you want to go back to her history from the comics, and she's I don't know.
The super suit as Jewel. I thought that
was a nice touch.
That was a nice little touch too, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that if they want to combine it with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I could easily see how that would work, since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all about the Inhumans right now, from what I understand.
Yeah, it is.
And like Luke Cage in particular would totally pop up on their radar.
Oh, yeah.
As somebody like, oh, we hear there's like a Nubian god with bulletproof skin.
What's a Nubian?
Him down. Shut the fuck up. And then the one mechanic dude on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, but we already have a sexy black bald dude on the show. What do we need another one for?
Well, then he dies in the next episode.
Yeah. Well, in season two, they killed that one black bald dude.
Right.
Thankfully,
they had another
black bald dude waiting in the wings to take his place. And I got confused even after the dude died. So, yeah. So the black bald dude they have right now better not upset any of the executives, because they'll be like, we got another black bald dude waiting to take your place.
Oh, man.
And this guy's sexier than you.
Hey, did you watch?
Did you see his arms? Those are good arms to have. Anyway, I mean, not that I'm into that.
Mm. Sure. Okay, I'll save you here, buddy. did you watch the Civil War trailer yet?
Yes, a few times.
Yeah. I may have saw it a couple times myself, yeah.
It hit me in the feels a couple times.
Did it? Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, at the very end, when he's like, Bucky, you know, he's my friend. So was I.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even though I don't even think they ever really were friends.
But the fact that Tony would say that.
Yeah. It looks, I mean, that trailer was good. I personally was pausing it. You know,
were you? Yeah.
Yeah, pausing and unpausing really quick to get a good look at Black Panther.
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, me too.
I don't know about all the white lines on his face, but seeing him running. Yeah. Seeing him running. Yeah, Black Panther, blackest superhero on the planet, Nubian God. Finally, that one's relevant. But seeing him like running, chasing like almost like the speed of cars and stuff, like really cool. And
yeah.
And when there's a shot of like Cap and Hawkeye, I think, whatever, they're all like starting to run, and then Scarlet Witch is behind them, and she kind of does like she aims her hands at the ground, and she uses her hex power to propel herself like she can fly.
Yeah.
I thought that looked fucking cool.
Yeah,
that looked really cool. It reminded me of that show.
I think that's from the comics, I think.
She does that? She, like, aims her hands at the ground?
I think so. I want to say, from when it looked familiar from when I saw it, so.
You know what it reminded me of? Hmm. Do you remember fucking Mutant X?
Oh, God.
Remember that dude who had, like, electricity powers? Everybody in the show at one point in the season, not that I watched a whole lot of it, but I remember everybody got, like a secondary mutation. And he gained the ability to, like, aim his hands at the ground and, like, fly with it. And it, like, literally reminded me of that. And I haven't thought of Mutant X in, like, 15 years.
Mutant X.
Yeah. Mutant X. Do you remember that? I would actually, if that show was on Netflix, I'd probably watch it. Well, I'd probably hate watch it. But
you hate yourself for watching it? Yeah.
No, I would hate watch it. Like, I'd watch to hate on it. I would probably hate watch it, but yeah, I probably would give it a proper go, just to be like, this fucking show, which every time it came on, I'd stop flipping channels to watch that show. I don't know why I hated it, but if it came on, I would watch it.
Maybe we can get some. Maybe we can do that, and we can get some like drunken rants from you
about Mutant X. Yeah, yeah, I need to properly watch that. But yeah, Jessica Jones. yeah, pretty good show. Very good show. Very good show.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it to people. I'd say watch Daredevil first.
Yeah, dude. Marvel is just like knocking out of the park with these with the Netflix shows. Daredevil.
Marvel can, like, do no wrong. They're like Pixar.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Well, the only asterisk on that would probably be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But for Netflix, yeah, they're doing an awesome job on Netflix. So keep it up.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do for the next one. So.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, do you think Daredevil will pop up in Luke Cage? Will Jessica Jones pop up?
Oh, I think I think she's going to pop up, and possibly Claire, but I don't think Daredevil's going to. I think they're going to save Daredevil.
She's going to pop up with a paternity suit. She'll be like, you got served with this paternity suit. Wouldn't surprise me. Well, again, spoiler alert, they have a kid in the comics.
Right, yeah. That's kind of a known fact, I thought, for...
Yeah, I was kind of joking, but not really.
Yeah. Well, in the first few episodes, when they're getting together, it's like, oh, well, I guess we see how that happens. Because they screw a lot.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Especially for a Marvel show.
Yeah, like I said earlier, man, this show had a lot of drinking and fucking and, you know, it's not a kid's show.
No.
What's her name? Transformers girl.
Rachel Taylor?
Trish. Yeah. Rachel Taylor. I always think of her as the chick from Transformers.
Me too.
The one.
The first one, right? Yeah, the first one,
She's the first one. She's the hacker girl. He's my advisor. She was so hot in that movie. When she takes the cop home, doesn't she, like, wake up and he's, like, going down on her or something?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was the scene.
That really happened, right? Yeah. I was like, whoa. Like, you never see a guy going down on a girl. And everybody will make jokes about a girl going down on a guy. Fucking... First season of Family Guy, there's a joke about a girl getting on her knee, you know, with those diamond commercials.
Yeah.
With a silhouette of the girl going down. That's a joke about a girl. Yeah.
The tagline was, because you pretty much have to.
Yeah, diamond, she'll pretty much have to. And that was like in what, like 2000 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
But that's a joke about a woman going down on a guy. How many pop culture references, you know, can you think about of a guy going down on a girl? I don't even know if I can.
Maybe something on HBO or Cinemax.
Well, like Family Guy, that was on Fox. Yeah. I don't mean like HBO, but I mean just, you know, for the public.
Oh, no, I can't think of one.
Yeah. I can't even think of anything about referencing the guys actually do that.
Do that.
No, I don't mean like guys do that. No, guys do that. I love to do that. But hey, ladies, I love to do that. PopCultureRewind@gmail.com.
Whatever gets the section, man.
Yeah, hit me up at PopCulture. I love to do that. No, but I mean, you never see a reference to the fact that guys do that in like TV shows and movies on TV or TV shows. You know, you're even like on FX and stuff, like Rescue Me. I don't know how many times it was chicks blowing Dennis Leary. I don't ever remember Dennis Leary going down on anybody. But that's because Tommy Gavin doesn't do that because he's a badass. I gotta rewatch Rescue Me. This was a good show.
That was another thing about this show and Daredevil to an extent was it's weird. This is a Marvel.
Did Daredevil go down on anybody?
No, that's I'm saying to an extent. To an extent, my friend.
Do you think his super sense of smell would you think that would?
It's all connected. It's all connected.
He like passes out. Because it's just so strong. Oh, not the smell. The smell is good. I'm just saying. He's got a super... Anyway. But what were you saying?
I don't even know anymore. Well, these are Disney. You know, Marvel's owned by Disney. It's kind of weird. You know, Disney's, you know, technically, Disney's putting these shows out. So, right? Is that the right way of thinking about that?
Well, I mean, Disney... Yeah. Didn't Disney own, like, Miramax, too?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just like a small... You know, small subs, whatever, of their company. You know what's going to be weird is if Jessica Jones and all her crew actually do join the MCU, we're so used to hearing them, like, cussing and drinking, to like, being, like, R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
To see them, like, get toned down, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, like, yeah, God damn it. What, Captain America's be like, language. You know?
I got to say, it was always funny, like, hearing her say, God damn it. Because the way she yells it is just, I don't know, her voice or whatever is just funny. I don't know.
She's tall. You know, she's tall and leggy, but she doesn't look like physically formidable. She looks kind of girly, you know.
No, she did extremely well in her job in mm-hmm. her role and everything. So kudos to everybody in charge of casting and writing yeah. and everything on that show. So
good for her. Good for her.
Mm. There's already saying there people are asking, is there going to be a season two? Or when's season two going to be? Because originally it was just going to be the four shows and Defenders. That was it. But Daredevil, as soon as that was over, they've already announced and started filming season two of Daredevil. So
how do these shows like make money? Like how do they turn a profit? Because there's no advertising.
Yeah,
I assume the profit just funnels directly into Netflix profits. But the thing is, a guy who's paying $8 a month for Netflix who watches the show, you're still getting $8 a month from a guy who doesn't watch the show. Or whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, does Netflix, like, when it says, like, Netflix original shows, does that mean Netflix is producing the shows? Like, they're funneling them, they're paying for it? Or, like how do they get how do they get their money back for that? You know, I would think that memberships would be the key on that. That's the only thing
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume Marvel is the one producing them. Well, I don't know. I remember reading a while ago when they were shopping the idea, like, they had an idea for the show and they were shopping it around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they agreed Netflix gets it. But does that mean Netflix ponies up the bill for the production cost? Or like, would you just, I don't really know. I don't really know how the profit works, how it all works. Don't should have researched this first, but we brought the subject up. Now we both look stupid.
Well, maybe there's some expert there that can let us know.
Yeah, please let us know if you have any thoughts of how the economy works.
Because we don't know.
No, we don't. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. Good show. I don't want to say it took a little while to get going. I mean, I was still watching it and I was still enjoying it, but it took a little while for the story to really. But again, it's like it's a 13-hour movie. Mm-hmm. Of course, the plot's not going to get rolling in the first 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah. No.
You know, it's a slow burn.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a slow burn. And at the end of it, you're like, when the last episode's in, you turn it off, you're like, wow, like that was good. That is what you'll say at the end of it. That was good. You know, give it at least 5 episodes, because I think that's when Kilgrave shows up. Really
yeah,
shows up.
Yeah. And that was
like, yeah.
Well, that was what they did with their Daredevil, too. I mean, Kingpin didn't show up until 4 episodes in, I think.
So. Yeah, but Kingpin wasn't more interesting than Daredevil, at least not the way Kilgrave was more interesting. To me, than
Kilgrave is definitely more interesting, than Kingpin was for sure. But
So when Kingpin, like I said, I was not a huge I'm not a huge fan of the Kingpin, or at least he wasn't super interesting to me.
Yeah.
But when Kilgrave shows up, I was like, oh my god, this guy is incredible. And then when he kind of went away for a while, I was like, bring back Kilgrave. And I said it just like that.
All right. Well. With that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and call it a show. So, do you have any last words for anything?
No, just, you know, congratulations, Marvel and Kristen Ritter and all those guys. It's a really good show.
Yeah.
And I think they put forward like the feminist message, but without having like a feminist agenda that kind of overshadowed anything in the show.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, I hope you listeners enjoyed this outing, this show. So until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.